Shalom to all. Today's office cholin daf nun tes. We are starting by the sixth line with the words Amar of Yosef. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Mem Sharbatz Biyakam Moshe Hernish Shama should have an Aliyah. And we continue discussing food that could be dangerous for a person. Amar of Yosef, he tells us Haim Ad Achol Shisri Bei, a person who eats 16 eggs, and also together with that he eats Varbayam Guzei 40 nuts Vish Shev Butis of Parchi and 7 berries or seeds from a caper bush Vishas Yuvias of Dovsha, and he drinks the Revis of honey Bit Kufas Tamuz in the summer, and he eats all of this Alibere Kana on an empty stomach Mis Akertali Delibe. The connections of his heart are going to be uprooted, which means the muscles that hold his heart to his body, that connect it to his body, they're going to be torn up because these foods are terrible for him. Onto a story of potential trefa. Hubartavia, there was a deer, the Usl Bay Rish Galusa, that came to the house of Rish Galusa, Dava Mifsa Karen Pasraisa, its back legs were cut, and Badke Rab Tsum Sagidin, Rav checked at Tsum Sagidin, where all those Gidin, the sinews, meet by the leg, Vachshre, and he said it was kosher, there was no problem, even though the leg was cut, the Tsum Sagidin was fine, so he said everything was okay. Now, Sarul Mechomine Ba'umtsa, he wanted to eat from it, Ba'umtsa, now usually Umtsa means eating it raw. He obviously wasn't going to eat it 100% raw. He was going to salt it and then roast it slightly and then eat it. However, Amar Shmuel, Shmuel asked him, you're not afraid for any kure? It means you're not afraid that a snake bit from it and its venom is inside. And the Mishnah said that if a snake bit an animal, you're not allowed to eat from it because it's dangerous, not because it's a treva, but because it's dangerous. So Amar told him, Atakanto, what could we do to figure out if a snake bit it? So he responded, Nois bitanura, place it in the oven. Don't just roast it slightly. You have to cook it in the oven. It's going to check itself, meaning after it's cooked, you're going to be able to tell. What happened? He was placed in the oven and nafal tilchi tilchi, it fell apart into little pieces, and that must be because there was snake venom that caused all the meat to break down. And kar shmuel le derav, Shmuel said about Rav, lo yuuna letzadik kol oven, then no harm is going to befall a righteous person. You're clearly a tzadik, Rav, and therefore no harm befell you. And kari Rav ali de Shmuel, Rav said the following pasuk about Shmuel, kol raz le onaslach, no secret is held back from you. And on to another Mishnah. This is very general in regards to simani kashrus of many different species. Simani behem of a chaya never min atayra. The simanim of what makes a kosher behemoth or chaya. Behemoth is usually a domesticated animal. Chaya is a non-domesticated animal. So simanim are said very clearly in the Torah. Split hooves, choose its cud, and we're going to see in the Gemara a little bit more about that. Of a simani aif, loy nemru, the simanim of a kosher bird are not said specifically in the Torah. The Torah just lists a bunch of birds which are not kosher and doesn't say this is a simon that's good and this is a simon that's bad. Av Amr Chacham, the Chacham said, kol aif had dyres, tame. If an aif is dyres, it's tame, it's not kosher. Up until now, we've been translating dyres as clawed, which means when a wild animal claws another animal, that's called dyres. However, over here, when we're talking about birds, specifically it's birds of prey, that's not kosher ones. Darius has many different explanations. Rashi over here says that it holds its food in its claws and then lifts it to its mouth like a parrot. That's what they do. Another explanation Rashi gives later on is that it places its claw on the food while it's eating to hold it down. So if it's a Darius, it's tummy, it's not kosher. Now, kol sheyesh lo etzba yaseira, if it has an extra finger, meaning an extra toe, that's in the back. If you look at a chicken, you'll see that in the front it has a number of toes, and in the back it also has an extra one sticking out behind it. Vizefek, it also has a crop, vikurkabun and niklaf, and its kurkabun could be peeled into different layers. Tahar, that's a kosher bird. Rabbi Elazar Tzadikimer, he says, kol oif hachaylikas raglov tame, any bird that when it sits on a wire or string or branch, it splits its feet, so it's not kosher. For example, it has four toes, and when it sits on a branch, in order to stabilize itself, it puts two in the back and two in the front, so that's a not kosher bird. Onto another grouping, ubchagavim, with grasshoppers, kol sheshlai arba arglayim, if it has four legs, v'arba knafayim, and four wings, v'kartzulayim. These Rashi translates as jumping legs. These are really long legs that he uses to spring forward and jump really far. Uknuf of chayfenas rubai, and its wings cover the majority of its body. That's a kosher grasshopper. Now, Rabbi Yossi Amar, he says, Ushmai chagav, it has to be called chagav. The Torah lists many different types of grasshoppers. One of them is called chagav. Rabbi Yossi holds that the grasshopper has to be known as a chagav in order to be kosher. Now, ubedugim with fish, kol sheyesh le'snapir v'kaskases, it has to have fin and scales. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, he says, shnei kaskasim v'snapir echad, as a minimum of two scales and one fin. Velo and kaskasim, what are the scales? Hakivuim bai, that's what's fixed on it. The scales don't move, meaning you could peel them off if you want to, but they don't move when the fish is swimming in the water. Usnapirim, what are the fins? Hapirech bahem, that's what it swims with. Parech literally means to fly, but fish don't fly, unless we're talking about a flying fish. Regular fish use their fins to swim or to glide through the water, and that's what the snapirim are. In other words, the snapirim move, and the kaskasim don't move. Says the Gemara, Tanabon, we have a bray. So, alien simon behema, these are the simon behema. The pasuk tells us, kol behema, mafresis, parse of goimer, any animal that split hooves, and the pasuk continues saying, umalas geira, it brings up its cud, or it chews its cud, that's simon of a kosher animal. Says the Braisa, kol behema shlamalas geira, any animal that chews its cud, biyaduash ein lashinayim lamala, then you know that it doesn't have upper teeth. If you look at pictures, the upper part of a kosher animal's mouth doesn't have any teeth, it's just plain gum, and such an animal, tahira, is kosher. Ask the Gemara, klalahu, is this really a general rule? Bari gamal, what about a camel? Malas geira, who it chews its cud, ve'ein lashinayim lamala, doesn't have upper teeth, vitame, and it's not kosher. That's because the Torah tells us. Says the Gemara, no, gamal, neither isle. A camel has nive, which are two teeth. Some translate them as incisors, basically these sharp teeth, not short stubby ones, but sharp pointed ones in the upper gum, and so it's clearly not kosher. Ask the Gemara, ben gamal, what about a young camel? Denive nami lesle, that it doesn't have these teeth yet. Vesu, and furthermore, hare shafan var neves, what about shafan var neves? Machlek is what this is, could be referring to a hare, a type of rabbit, maybe a hyrax, H-Y-R-A-X. These two little animals, demalis gerahin, they're malis gera, v'yeshlan shinayim lamala, they have upper teeth, utameim, they're not kosher, as the pasuk tells beferush. V'aydim, furthermore, shinayim miksivi by raisa, does the pasuk say anything about having upper teeth? No, it doesn't say that in the Torah. The Gemara says, you're right, I'll rather hachakam, this is what the Brisa is telling us. Kol behema she'en lo shinayim lamala, any animal, if you look in its mouth and it doesn't have upper teeth, biyadua she'imalas gera, then you can know for sure that it chews its cud, umafrasas parsa, and that it has split hooves, utahira, and it's kosher. As the Gemara, v'livdek parsa seha, why don't you just do a check and see if it has split hooves? Why are you just looking in its mouth to see if it has teeth, and then you could automatically assume that it chews its cud and has split hooves? Look to see if it has split hooves. And the answer is, kugan shay parsa set chatuchas, it could be referring to an animal that its hooves are chopped, so you can't see anything. All you have access to is its upper mouth. If it doesn't have teeth, you know that it's kosher. And Rav Chizda, just like Rav Chizda said, Rav Chizda tells us, if a person is going to the wilderness, and he finds an animal that its hooves are cut, by the way, you should check its mouth. If it doesn't have upper teeth, bidushi tayr, you know that it's kosher. If not, bidushi tamei, you know that it's not kosher. Ubavad shakar gamal, he just has to know what a camel looks like to ensure that this is not a camel. As the Gemara, gamal, camel, nive islay, it has these upper teeth, so he doesn't have to know what a camel is. He's going to see that it has upper teeth. The Gemara says, you're right. Rather, what the Brisa is really telling us, ubavad shakar ben gamal, he just has to know what a young camel looks like. And as long as you know what a young camel looks like, and he knows for sure this is not a young camel, then he could assume it's a kosher animal because it doesn't have upper teeth. As the Gemara, lav amrit, didn't you just say, ikka ben gamal, that there's a young camel that doesn't have upper teeth? Well, ikanami minachrina damil ben gamal. Maybe there's another type of min that's like a young camel that doesn't have upper teeth, and you should be chayshish for that. Says the Gemara, leisakadaitach, don't think that. The times Rabbi Shmuel, because the Brisa was taught based on Rabbi Shmuel, the pasuk tells us, v'shagamal ki malagera hu. The gamal is a malagera, and it's a not kosher animal, as the pasuk continues. What do we learn from here? Shalat by lama yedea she'en l'chadavar malagera v'tame ela gamal. The one who controls, who rules over his world, obviously referring to Hashem, he knows that there's nothing else that chews its cud, but is not kosher, except for a gamal. L'fikach, therefore, part by a kasuv hu, that's what the pasuk says, hu, it, telling us that this is the only thing that chews its cud that's not kosher, but all other things, as long as they fit the criteria, then they're fine. And Vamar Chizr Chizr says, hay malach baderech, a person's going along the way, umatzah behema shepia gamum, and he finds an animal that its mouth is cut up, so you're not able to see if it has or doesn't have upper teeth, but I think parsa sell, check its hooves. And parsa says, sudukais, if the hooves are split, bidushi tar, so you know that it's kosher. Imlav, if not bidushi tamei, you know that it's not kosher. Ubavad shiakr chazir, as long as a person knows what a chazir is, because a chazir has split hooves, but of course it's not kosher. The Gemara has a similar question. Lav amrit ik a chazir, didn't you just say that a chazir has split hooves, but it's not kosher? Well, ikanami minachwin in daimil chazir. Maybe there's another min that's just like a chazir that has split hooves, but it's not kosher. Says Gemara, leisakadantich, don't think that. Titani Rabbi Shmuel, Bryce was talking about Rabbi Shmuel. The pasuk says, Ves a chazir, ki mafris parsa hu, and shalat by lama, yedea she'en lecha davar she mafris parsa vitame el chazir, shalat by lama, akash baruchu, he knows that there's nothing else that has split hooves, which is not kosher, besides for a chazir, lefikach, therefore, part by a kasov, hu, that's why Tyre said the word hu, it, meaning only it is not kosher, but all other things with split hooves are kosher. And another thing that's similar, Amar Chizr, Chizr also said, Hayim halchum midbar, a person is going to the wilderness, umatza behema shepia gamum, u parsa sechatuchais, he finds an animal that not only is his mouth chopped up, but its hooves are cut, so he's able to supposed to tell if it's kosher or not kosher animal. But the bibsara, he could check its flesh. If it goes down and across to bidushi taira, it's known this is a kosher animal. Vimlav if not bidushi tmeos, and he knows that it's not kosher. Ubavachi akar aroid, he just has to know what aroid is, a wild donkey, and as long as he knows that it's not a wild donkey, he could assume this is kosher. Once again, the Gemara asks, Lav amrit, didn't you just say that ikar aroid, there's a wild donkey which its flesh is like this and it's not kosher? Well, ikanami minachwin and daimila aroid, maybe there's another min which is just like a wild donkey. The answer is that no, Gemir, we have a Messira, the Lekka, that there is no other non-kosher animal whose flesh is like this. Now we just clarify, where does he check to see if its flesh goes shasi ve'erev? So Rabbi, he explains, this is the wings of the oikets. Rashi translates the oikets as underneath the tail. This is basically back by the hip bones. The flesh over there crisscrosses, it goes shasi ve'erev, and that would be the sign of a kosher animal if you're not able to check the upper mouth or the hooves. We continue, the Mishnah said, simani chaya. So the Gemara brings a bris, so Tan Rabbanon, Elohim simani chaya. What is the simon of a chaya of an undomesticated animal? Right away, the Gemara asks the question, chaya b'chal behemah yilu simonim. We know from the Mishnah that a chaya is included in a behemah for a simonic kashra. So what's the question? So Rav Zeir, he clarifies, no tesoma beis on table, hati chalava, to be matur its chilev. We know there's fats that are forbidden in a behemah, but in a chaya, they're permitted. So if we know what a chaya is, we know that chilev is permitted. This is what the Gemara is saying, in simoni chaya shechalava mutter, these are the simon of a chaya, that its chilev is mutter, kol sheish la karnayim v'tlofayim. Literally, this means if it has horns and hooves. We're going to explain what type of horns it has to have. And tlafayim means there's a unique type of hoof, meaning it's not the classic wide hoof of a behemoth, of a domesticated animal. Rather, has sharper, more pointed hooves, and that shows that it's a chayot. Rabbi Soimer, he says, Yeshal Karnaim, if it has horns, yet it's sarklach shal tlafayim, you don't have to go looking at its hooves because you know for sure that it's a chayot. However, Yeshal tlafayim, if it has these hooves, sarklach tlachazar al kanayim, you have to see what type of horns it has. Now, a keresh, there's an animal called a keresh, which we're going to see later on in the Gemara what that is, even though it only has one horn, mutter, it's mutter. As a Gemara Kol, who is this really general rule that everything we just mentioned before shows that it's a chayot? Vare A's, what about a goat? The Yeshal Karnaim with tlafayim, it has these types of horns and hooves, v'chal by usr, but its chaylev is usr. So the Gemara says, you're right, kruches be'inon. The type of horn that it has to have is kruches type of horns, which actually explains it's layered, that the horns grow one layer on top of another layer, like an ox, and that's what we're referring to. So right away the Gemara asks, vare shar, the kruches, the horns of an ox, are kruches, v'chal by usr, and its chaylev is usr. So how could you say that a thing with kruches horns is a chaya and its chaylev is mutter? So my answer is, you're right, charukas be'inon. Really, the horns have to be charukas, which means they have to be full of pegimas and charitzim, as Rashi says, different grooves and etches in them, and that's considered a chaya. Ask more of our aids, but a goat, the charukas, its horns are like this, v'chal by usr, but its chaylev is usr. The Gemara says, you're right, mefutsalis be'inon, it has to have branched horns to be a chaya. Ask more of our tzvi, what about a tzvi? The in mefutsalis, its horns are not branched, v'chal by mutter, and its chaylev is mutter. Now Rashi right away points out over here that tzvi, which we usually translate as a deer, definitely does have branched horns, so he suggests that perhaps it's referring to a steinbok, which I was explained might be referring to either the ibex or the mountain goat, which does not have branched horns. Either which way, we're left with this question that we have a chaya, a tzvi, that its horns are not mefutsalois and still its chaylev is mutter. Says the Gemara, chaduris be'inon, you're right, they have to be rounded. When you have a cross section of the horn, it's rounded, and that shows that it's a chaya. Helkach therefore, heichad mefatzla loydin of loydina, if the horns are branched, so we don't need a judgment or a judge, there's no questions that need to be asked, it's for sure a chaya. Heichad loy mefatzla, but if its horns are not branched, then be'inon kruchas, chaduris, v'charukas, the horns have to have all three of these qualifications, and only then we know it would be a chaya. V'hu demivl chirkaihu, has to be these grooves merge with each other, meaning they're very close together, and behind who's fake at the izakarkos, that actually is the suffix of this goat called a karkos, because on one hand it's called an aes, and we know an aes, a goat, is not a chaya, mela, its chaylev would be usr. On the other hand, its horns are chadurais and charukais, so maybe it is a chaya, and we have a story about this. He is a karkos, the havai berish galusa, there was this karkos type goat, there was an azreish galusa, the akar mali tsana de tarbamina, they took out a whole basket full of fat from it, and they want to know if this is kosher. Now, Ravachai asar, Ravachai said it was asar, which Rav Shmuel b'Reish Ravo, Achamine, Rav Shmuel b'Reish Ravo, ate from this fat, and Kari Nafshe, he said about himself the following pasuk, Mipri pi'ish tizba bitnoi, with the fruits of a man's mouth, his stomach will be filled. In other words, he's saying about himself, since I was careful and I learned a lot from my Rebbeim and I paid attention, so I have this Messiah that these fats are okay to eat because it's a chaya, and that's what it means, tizba bitnoi, because now he's able to eat from it. Now, Shalchem Yitam, they sent a message from there, from Eretz Yisrael, Hilchasakavas de Shmuel b'Reish Ravo, the halacha is like Shmuel b'Reish Ravo. However, v'hizru b'Rabbeinu Achai, you should be very careful with Rabbeinu Achai, Shemeir Eini Gailahu, he enlightens the eyes of those in Galus, so don't pass like this in front of him until he's chayzer from his psak that this is no good. We had said before that v'keresh, af b'she'en le'ele karen achas mutter, this keresh, even though it only has one horn, it's mutter. So Rabbi Yehudi tells us, keresh, what is this keresh? Tavi de Be'ilai. It says Tavio, which is like a deer of sort, which is from an area called Be'ilai. Now, once we're on this topic, tigris, what exactly is a tigris? Kind of sounds like a tiger. Ari de Be'ilai, it's a lion that comes from this area Be'ilai. And Rav Kani tells us, Teisham also have a bein una l'una de Ari de Be'ilai. There's nine amois in between the ears of this lion. And Rav Yosef, he tells us, Shitzar amasa have a mashchi de Tavi de Be'ilai. This Tavi de Be'ilai is 16 amos long, so some sort of giant animal. Now, we have a story about this. Armalei Kisar Rav Yishuv and Chananya, the Caesar told Rav Yishuv and Chananya, Elikechem ka'ari masil. Your God is compared to a lion. The pasuk says, Arye Shahag Milo Yiro. When a lion roars, who's not going to be afraid? And this is a reference to Kosh Baruch Hu. Now, the Caesar asks him, Mayer Vuse, what's so special about that? Parsha, a mighty warrior, Katal Arye, could kill a lion. So, Armalei Rav Yishuv and Chananya respond to him, Lavkai Arye Masil. Hashem's not compared to a regular lion. Ka'ari de Be'ilai Masil. He's like the Arye de Be'ilai. So, Armalei the Caesar told him, Be in the Mechsis Leini Ali. I want you to show it to me. Armalei Rav Yishuv and Chananya told him, Lei Matzes, Chazis Lei. You can't see it. It's not possible. Armalei told him, Ivra, in truth, indeed, Chazin Lei. I want to see it. You have to show it to me. So, Bar Rachma, Rav Yishuv and Chananya asked for mercy, and his Akar Meduchte, this Arye de Be'ilai, stood up and started coming from its place. And Kavim Marchik, Arbu Mea Parsi, when it was 400 parsayas away, Nihem Chad Kala, it roared once. And what happened because of the power of this roar? Apilu Kama Barta, all pregnant women were mapil, they miscarried their children, Vishur de Romi Nafal, and the walls of Rome fell down. And Adamer Chad Klas Mea Parsi, when it was 300 parsayas away, Nihem Kala Chrina, it roared again, Nutter Kachi Vishini de Gavri, all men's teeth fell out, Vaafhu Nafal Mukrasai La Ara, and the Caesar fell off of his throne onto the ground. Amr Lei, he told Rishim Achananim, Tusum Yunacha, beg of you, Bai Rach Mea Lei, Dol Ha please ask for mercy that it goes back to its place. I do not want to see this lion. And Barachmi Ale, he davened for mercy and it went back to its place. Now, similar story. Amalei Kesler Rabbi Shimon Chananya, this is just told Rabbi Shimon Chananya, I want to see your God. Amalei told him, you're not able to see him. Amalei told him, Evra, in truth, yes, indeed. On top, I want to see him. You have to show him to me. So, what did Rabbi Shimon Chananya do? He went and stood him in front of the sun, which is the summer. Amarlay, he told the Caesar, Istakobe, look at the sun. Amarlay told him, I can't look at the sun, it's too strong. Amarlay, so he told him, you gave me the sun. It's just one of the Shamashim, one of the servants of Hashem. You say that you can't look at it. For sure, the Shechina you're not going to be able to look at. And the Caesar realizes this is just not going to work. We're going to stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow with another story about the Caesar. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.